You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells. That you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front.
All right, everybody. How about that to kick off the first broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program during the month of December? We're live tonight, Saturday, December the 3rd. I'm James Edwards, Keith Alexander in the studio with me for the entire 3 hours tonight. Eddie the Bombardier Miller running another marathon this evening. We'll talk about that a little later on in the show. His third marathon this year, second in a month, from New York to Memphis he goes. Congratulations to Eddie for doing the Lord's work. But we've got a busy night in store for you, more news than we can possibly get to, but it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, even in our studio tonight. As you know, from time to time, we like to boost each other's morale here at the station by lighting a candle, and tonight we've brought in a candle. It's, well, it doesn't say the scent, but it has a fir tree on it, and it smells like that, so we're going to say that it smells like a fir tree here in the studio this evening as we broadcast live. So it smells like Christmas, it looks like Christmas, and we're going to begin featuring the sounds of the season here on the broadcast for the remainder of the month leading up to the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. But tonight, wow, we've got a lot to cover. After refusing more than 100 consecutive interview requests from all establishment media outlets, including some of the biggest, Wall Street Journal among them, I agreed this week to be interviewed by a Pulitzer reporter for the New York Times. I'm going to break that down in the second hour, and I'm going to tell you why I relaxed my position on giving interviews to the establishment press in the second hour. And when I tell you who this person is that reached out to me, everyone is going to know who it is. And anyway, details on that forthcoming. Yes, so we did do an interview this week with the New York Times. It has not yet been published. That's coming up, and I'll, again, tell you all of those details in the second hour. Of course, on last week's show, most of the show last week dealt with our commentary, opinion, and analysis on the National Policy Institute's conference, which took place in November. And, of course, the media's treatment of Richard Spencer's toast to Donald Trump and the subsequent saluting that took place by a couple of people there in the audience. We have some excellent print coverage of that on our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org, The Future of the Alt-Right. That is an article that includes conflicting opinions by Ramsey Paul and Richard Spencer, along with a few of my observations, so check that out. Also at the website, Fear and Loathing in Washington, D.C. by Sam Dixon, and The Great Hitler Salute Crisis of 2016 by Dr. Roger Devlin, another friend of the program, to be sure. So we've got three articles about the NPI and all of the related fallout from that event at our website, and of course, we covered that in depth last week with Richard Spencer himself on the program. So if you missed last week's show, be sure to check it out. Much more happening in, with regard to Richard Spencer this week, and that's where we'll start the show tonight. So Richard went to a very elite prep school in Dallas, Texas. It is one of the most elite prep schools in the country. It's called St. Mark's. Well, once St. Mark's heard that Richard wasn't ashamed of being white, there was all sorts of meltdown going on there. The headmaster of St. Mark's School of Dallas broke with school policy of not commenting on students. And he commented on Richard, "This has been a deeply troubling and terribly upsetting to our whole school community," the headmaster, David Denny, wrote in a statement.
Dimwit or whatever.
Maybe so. He wrote that in a statement released to the Dallas Morning News. "At St. Mark's, we reject racism and bigotry in all of its forms and expressions." So, again, once again, standing up and being an advocate for the unique group interests of European Americans makes one, of course, a racist and a bigot. We understand that.
Of course, that's in the eyes of the appropriately named David Denny, rhymes with ninny. And, you know, this is – he's obviously the perfect – example of a cucked white male, and that's the type of person that they want to run our educational establishment, particularly an elite school like this. So this is just, you know, it's not only a news event, it's a morality play. This is what we have to look forward to, being denounced by a bunch of girly men like David Denny. Way to go, Richard. When you're on the outs with people like David Denny, then you know you're on the right path.
Well, what's even worse than David Denny, the headmaster, the current headmaster of St. Mark's, is what Richard's graduating class of 1997 did in reaction to the...
Probably at the urging of the Honorable Mr. Denny.
Maybe so. But nevertheless, for whatever reason, in response to all of the media attention Richard's been getting with regard to the alt-right and the NPI conference, we may have mentioned this last week when Richard was on, but he wrote a statement that I want to share with you as we kick things off this evening. We're going to school this first hour, and you'll know what I mean by that by the end of the hour. But the graduating class of 1997, which was Richard's class there at St. Mark's, has began an online fundraising effort against Spencer, which is raising money to resettle refugees in Dallas. So they are raising money to resettle so-called refugees in Richard's old neighborhood. Richard doesn't even live in Dallas anymore, so I don't know how that hurts him necessarily.
I doubt that they're refugees from Europe somewhere.
No, they're certainly not. But Richard wrote this, and this is brilliant. He wrote in response to this initiative that his former classmates are putting together, and they've raised $40,000 so far. "The most revealing part of this story is my classmates' response to the viewpoints they don't like is to commit civilizational suicide even harder than before. They're raising money for resettling refugees in their city, damaging the lives of white people who lack their privilege." I attended St. Mark's in the 1990s. The school was overwhelmingly Anglo-Protestant. Not surprisingly, Jews were overrepresented as a proportion of the population of Dallas. But today, St. Mark's official website boasts that the school is now 45% quote-unquote of color. If this doesn't express the end stage of WASP decline, I don't know what does. We'll let Keith comment on that when we come back from our first break of the evening, but that is nothing. That's a drop in the bucket to the reaction of the president of Texas A&M University to a forthcoming talk that Richard will be giving on campus on December the 6th. Stay tuned for all of this and much more tonight here on The Political Cesspool.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. In the first segment, we opened up with the pathological altruism, the pathological virtue signaling taking place at Richard's former prep school in Dallas, where the graduating class of 1997, Richard's graduating class, has raised tens of thousands of dollars in protest of Richard Spitzer, who no longer lives in Texas, hasn't lived there in years, to resettle refugees in not their neighborhoods, of course, Keith, not in the elite neighborhoods, but in the neighborhoods where we would live, I guess. So your reaction to that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head on what's most important about this. It's what Sam Francis called diversity for thee, but not for me. I'm sure that David is not going to invite resettlement refugees into his own home. If he did, I'd love to see it. It's like the suggestion we made when the Pope came out against Donald Trump's comments on immigration. We suggested that Donald Trump tell him that he would take just as many refugees into the United States of America as the Pope was willing to admit to the Vatican. And we also pointed out
that's beautiful.
And we pointed out furthermore that the Vatican is surrounded by a sturdy wall that has existed since the Middle Ages, that was existed specifically for the purpose of keeping out Muslim invaders, which is what Europe is trying to do and what we're trying to do as well, and what Trump has proposed. See, these people are supreme hypocrites, and they think that there's something virtuous about reaching down to people at the bottom of the social ladder, refugees, non-whites, and whatnot. Meanwhile, they have nothing but the utmost utter contempt for white people one rung down the social ladder from themselves. And they will do everything they can to subvert their prospects in life, to take their good-paying jobs away from them, and to ruin their neighborhoods and schools. So I think it's time that we called out Mr. Denny, the headmaster of St. Mark's, for the phony that he is. If he wants to have refugees resettling in Dallas. He can lead by example, have them there in his home. And when we see these people hanging out of his windows, destroying his property, and basically absorbing his wealth, then we'll say, welcome to our world. This is what you're trying to create for us. And he and the rest of the elites can go fly a kite. We're not going to follow them down the primrose path that leads to hell.
Great commentary, Keith. And that's what's going on at Richard's Prep School. Now, also in the state of Texas, Richard will be giving a talk that was planned weeks ago, well in advance of the fallout from the NPI conference, at Texas A&M on December 6th. So Richard will speak at Texas A&M between now and next week's live broadcast of TPC. Wilburn Sprayberry, who is a great friend of this program, also a resident of Texas, and he was at our 10-year anniversary party a couple of years ago here in Memphis. But he has written an incredible article for Kevin McDonald's Occidental Observer website. I'd like to read it for you in its entirety, just to let you know what's going on at Texas A&M. It's really only about four or five paragraphs. It's a short piece, but it's packed with information. Wilburn asks, what's been going on in Texas since the end of the NPI conference? Richard Spencer's much-commented-on speech in Hellgate is hard to believe. An absolute media meltdown by the Dallas Morning News, followed by Texas Aggies fleeing to the world's largest safe space, the 100,000-seat Kyle Field, A&M's giant football stadium, when it was announced that Richard would be speaking to a couple hundred people elsewhere on campus. I would put this in the comedy section. Immediately before the conference, articles started appearing in the Dallas Morning News about the rich kid preppy white nationalist, so-called, from St. Mark's, Dallas' most prestigious private boys' school and Richard's alma mater, who was now one of the chief leaders of that dangerous, hateful group, the alt-right, earnestly denounced by Hillary in an egregious threat to the Republic in a widely publicized speech during the campaign. After the NPI conference, all hell broke loose. Angry mothers of current St. Mark's students wrote letters to the Dallas Morning News editor bewailing the same wonderful diversity school their darlings attended could inexplicably produce such a monster, and begging that the paper not associate Richard's name with St. Mark's, lest it queer their son's chances of being accepted to a major university. The St. Mark's headmaster publicly disavowed Richard, the first time the school has ever done so to one of its graduates, feeling especially in need of atonement. The St. Mark's class of 97 launched a campaign to raise money to resettle refugees. Now, get to what's going on here at Texas A&M. The Dallas Morning News article yesterday announced that the president of Texas A&M, not the diversity director, the president, who oversees 50,000 students, thousands of staff, and a few billion dollars worth of buildings, labs, etc., declared a safe space on campus for all Aggies, students, professors, staff, and inhabitants of nearby towns who might feel endangered, so that they would have a place to flee when Richard gives a talk on December 6th. Richard will be addressing a couple hundred max in a small conference room. On the other hand, Kyle Field, the safe space for people afraid of Richard, is by far on campus, probably the largest structure between Dallas and Houston. I could go into a long rant about how A&M used to be all male, used to be the most macho campus in Texas, used to be an island of sanity in an academic sea of madness, but I will spare you. So bottom line, Keith, the president of Texas A&M University is opening up its 100,000-seat football stadium to serve as a safe space for students, professors, faculty, residents of surrounding towns near Dallas who are afraid of Richard Spencer.
Well, what this, the Richard Spencer at St. Mark's prep school's reaction to their illustrious alum, Richard Spencer, and Texas A&M's response to Richard Spencer coming to their university to speak, speaks volumes about the power, the pervasive power and insidious power of political correctness and cultural Marxism. The cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has not only gone through higher academia, it has gone through it so thoroughly that you can't even find a person with experience in a high position in that particular line of work that is anything other than a far left ninny like David Denny at St. Mark's School, or Betsy DeVos, the new candidate that Donald Trump has tapped to be his Secretary of Education. You know, we had suggested possibly Larry Arnn at Hillsdale College, but, you know, in all truth, he's probably a conservative himself. It's very, very difficult for people with a normal, healthy sense of racial solidarity, particularly if they're white, to have any type of future in academia, and this proves it. Texas A&M in particular is you know, the supreme irony. It's what Brutus would call the, what Caesar called the unkindest cut of all. Texas A&M used to be the most macho school in Texas and possibly the United States. It was military. It was even more military than West Point or Annapolis or the Air Force Academy. It was where people had a hard-minded approach to and skepticism for all of the current trends in education, particularly higher education. They were not politically correct. This is the place, by the way, where Bear Bryant basically forged his legend of the Junction Boys, where he was really rough on his football team. Now, do you think they had safe spaces for Bear Bryant's football team at Texas A&M in 1954?
Folks, wait till you hear how we tie all of this together in the next segment. It's just going to knock you loose. Stay tuned. We're going to have more from Keith Alexander and yours truly right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. President-elect Donald Trump has repeatedly interviewed retired general and former CIA director David Petraeus for a potential position in his administration, perhaps even as Secretary of State. Trump describes himself as very impressed with Petraeus, but so far hasn't commented on his considerable baggage, beginning with the fact that he is currently serving probation after being convicted on charges very similar to those that inspired the "Lock Her Up" chant at Trump campaign rallies. Like Hillary Clinton, Petraeus mishandled classified information by sharing it with Paula Broadwell, a biographer with whom he had an extramarital affair. While Hillary Clinton has not been charged with federal felonies for her documented violation of statutes dealing with classified State Department communications, Petraeus pleaded guilty in exchange for having the charges reduced to misdemeanors. He was sentenced to 2 years of probation in April 2015. Under the terms of the sentence, the defendant shall not leave the Western District of North Carolina without the permission of the court or probation officer. Travel will be allowed for work as approved by the U.S. Probation Office. What that means, notes The Hill, is that if Petraeus were appointed Secretary of State, he would have 3 days to notify his probation officer and obtain permission to move to Washington, D.C., and similar permission would be necessary for any official trips he would take abroad. Also noteworthy to Trump supporters, who see him as a champion of the Second Amendment, is the fact that Petraeus co-founded a gun control organization with former astronaut Mark Kelly, husband of former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords.
For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, right after Hillary Clinton lost, thank God, all of these colleges started having these safe spaces. I mean, safe space isn't a new term. That's one of the insane...
Another invention of the left.
Right. It's one of these ridiculous manifestations of the left that has become to be known within recent years. But right after Hillary's defeat, you had these circles that were going on at colleges where the students would sit in a circle. I'm talking about, I mean, I guess these are pretty much grown men and women by the time you're in your late teens, early 20s. You're a man, you're a woman by that time. You're a young man, young woman. You're not a kid. You're sitting in a circle and crying. And then we remember at one of the Ivy League schools, one of the male students was crying so hard he defecated.
All right, we can't make this up.
This was reported. This is reported. We didn't make that up. But so now you have it at Texas A&M, formerly one of the manliest colleges in the country, on par with West Point, the Citadel, Virginia Military Institute. Of course, all of them now have fallen far from their former glories. But anyway, now the president at Texas A&M University is opening up the football stadium so its students can go in there and cry while Richard Spencer's on campus. This is what modern academia has come to, Keith. The leftism has run its full course.
And not only that, but the modern military. You know, Annapolis and West Point are leading the charge towards multiculturalism and transgenderism and homosexual rights. Look at, for example, what Texas A&M's heritage is. It sent military leaders to lead America to victory in World Wars I and II, the Korean War, Vietnam. It has been a proud example of its graduates typically went into the military, which is the manliest of the professions. The professions being law, medicine, the clergy, and then the military. The military, the most manly and the most, aggressive and militaristic of all of the professions, has an institution now where its attendees, its student body, and I guess its faculty, have to go and get into the umbilical position in a safe space when confronted with ideas that don't comport with the propaganda that they've been taught at the school. Can you imagine General Patton or General Eisenhower or any of these other military leaders from bygone days needing a safe space because they encountered ideas that were contrary to orthodox positions? Of course not. This is, you know, is this what America has come to now? This is the way that they can't win the argument against right-wingers and conservatives. So consequently, they say that it makes them ill to hear it, and that's supposedly going to shut up all contrary positions. What a brave new world we live in now, James.
All right, so we said that TPC was going to school this hour, and we've covered some instances of virtue signaling and pathological altruism at Richard's former prep school, now at Texas A&M University. And talking about all of these great former universities, obviously West Point, Robert E. Lee, probably the most Christ-like figure that ever called himself an American, the great Confederate General Robert E. Lee, was the only student to ever go through West Point without receiving a single demerit. I like, of course, the legacy of Virginia Military Institute with Stonewall Jackson. But then look at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. We talk about this, which is Keith's alma mater. We talk about this during Confederate History Month from time to time, but there's a reason I'm bringing it up now. During Lincoln's savage war against the South, the entire Ole Miss student body fought for the Confederacy. They were called the University Grays. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, they suffered a 100% casualty rate. Every single member of the Ole Miss student body fought, and every single one was either injured or killed in the war. The University Grays were Company A of the 11th Mississippi Infantry Regiment in the Confederate Army. During the war, part of the Army of Northern Virginia, the Grays served in one of the most famous and bloody battles of the war. The Rifle Company joined the 11th Infantry at its inception on May 4, 1861, after Mississippi seceded from the Union. Their name, University Grays, derived from the gray color, of course, of the men's uniforms, and the fact that almost all of the Grays were students at the University of Mississippi. Nearly the entire student body enlisted, and of course, the most famous engagement of the University Grays was at Pickett's Charge during the Battle of Gettysburg, when the Confederates made that frontal assault against the Union in entrenchments atop Cemetery Ridge. The Grays penetrated further into the Union position than any other unit. What a legacy! It gives me chills. Ladies and gentlemen, I have chills just reading that. The sacrifice, the honor, the duty. They made it further at Gettysburg, these kids from the University of Mississippi, than any other unit in the Confederate Army, and they suffered 100% casualty rate. And now what's happening at Ole Miss? If that's not an honorable legacy to be proud of, no school has one to boast. Nothing beats that. But now at Ole Miss, Keith, news this week out of Ole Miss, the Ole Miss College Democrats are asking the Student Senate to pass a resolution that would transform the campus into a sanctuary campus in order for illegal aliens to escape deportation. President of the University of Mississippi College Democrats, Adam Flaherty, and Dominique Scott, president of Students Against Social Injustice, are pushing the resolution that would bar campus police from cooperating with ICE, as well as the Customs and Border Protection. The University of Memphis campus leadership ought to immediately begin the process of making our campus a formal sanctuary campus for undocumented immigrants, their families, and related community members. So compare the student body of 1861 with the student body of 2016.
Well, there is no comparison, unfortunately. It's like Shakespeare said in Hamlet, comparing a Hyperion to a satyr. What is really alarming about this is that this is not a bunch of cranks or crackpots at the University of Mississippi. This is not some small and vocal minority. This is what the administration of the University of Mississippi is promoting. They have the full bodied support of the administration, the president's office on down, the faculty, everyone else at the university. This is how complete the transformation of America has been under the cultural Marxist regime, and how the liberalism has triumphed over the past 62 years since the handing down of the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Now, I love the idea of a sanctuary city. That may surprise some of you. But the reason I do is that it gives the Trump administration and the Department of Education and the Attorney General of the United States all the authority and leeway they need to cut off all federal funds, not only to sanctuary cities, but now to sanctuary college campuses. These people are basically putting a bullseye on their chest, and I hope the Trump administration aims its sights at them and fires true and hits the bullseye. It's time to take the money away from all these people. As we have said oftentimes on this show, the only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. We need to close the purse and keep all this federal money out of the colleges and universities that are in the forefront of defying America's sovereignty, and also against the cities that have decided that they are a law unto themselves, and basically see these places shrivel up and die. That's what these colleges and cities need to do that are going to flout their anti-American credentials in the face of the rest of us and the federal government. And quite frankly, thanks for dropping your cover and letting us know who you are. We're like Santa Claus. We're going to be making a list and checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice.
Well, you got that right, Keith. And I hate to have to put the University of Mississippi on the naughty list, although it should be repeated that this is just a resolution or a recommendation from the most insane of the leftists there on that campus, and it's not anything that's been put into formal policy.
Unfortunately, the insanity emanates down from the head of the university. The chancellor is, you know, the silence is deafening if you're waiting for any type of denunciation or distancing of the administration from this, which shows that the administration is in wholehearted support of it.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. The administration would do it if given the chance, if they thought they could get away with it. I'm sure they're 100% supportive, but the fact remains that it has not been implemented into policy yet. But I mean, compare that again, and as you said, there is no comparison. The University of Mississippi student body, 1861 to 2016, that's how far we've fallen, ladies and gentlemen. But hope springs eternal that there will always be a brighter tomorrow than yesterday was, and we believe that there will be, or else we wouldn't be here.
Just when we thought we were going down for the third time, in comes Trump.
We'll see what happens. We got 4 to 8 years to see what will come of that, and we will be here with you for it, we hope, ladies and gentlemen, so long as the support of our audience remains true. We'll be back with more right after this. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. I guess you could say, as I did earlier, we've gone to school this hour. We started with Richard's Prep School in Dallas, then to Texas A&M University. We're now talking about some recent occurrences at the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, and there's one more college or university, I should say, that we're going to cover before the end of this hour. And then in the second hour, I'm going to tell you about my interview with a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for the New York Times. I think it's an interesting account. So I'm going to tell you all about it, take you behind the scenes even before the story is published in the second hour. So stay tuned for that. But Keith, we're talking about Ole Miss and the desire of some of the student body to make that a refugee
sanctuary
campus is what they're calling it, a sanctuary university where if you're on the college grounds, you can defy federal law, you can defy state law. And by the way, listen, we're against some of this particular element of the student body. We're against the administration of Ole Miss, but I don't think there's a university in the country, maybe even in the world, that has a more noble heritage than Ole Miss. We talked about why that is in the last segment. And the state of Mississippi itself, even still to this day, there is no state like Mississippi. When I go to Mississippi, and of course here in Memphis, we're only about 10 minutes from the state line, I am at home. I am a second-generation Tennessean. Both sides of my family, both sides of my grandparents, my father's parents and my mother's parents, were born in Mississippi and then moved to Tennessee, to Memphis, to find work. That's where my parents were born, first-generation Tennesseans, and then they met. And so I'm a second-generation Tennessean. But going back in my family tree as far back as we can trace, obviously we came from Scotland at some point into the America, and in Mississippi we've been since the early 1800s. So Mississippi, when I go there, it still has the Confederate flag as part of its state flag. I love Mississippi. I'm a Tennessean. I'm proud of Tennessee. Tennessee is another great Confederate state, but I think Mississippi is the finest state that America has to offer. So to see this happening at Ole Miss isn't reflective upon the state at all, but it is something that should be mentioned with regard to its former glory.
Well, what's happened to Mississippi is emblematic of what the left has done to higher academia everywhere in the United States, and also what they've done to, the government and of the state and of the cities there. Basically, they have not transformed the outlook or attitude of the average everyday citizen. But they've made sure that they recruited faculty members for the colleges and universities from outside the state, and they were very careful to hire only hard leftists. So, and furthermore, administrators who want to be recognized by their peers, want to move up the professional ladder in their chosen profession, they're all going to fall in line and be good little leftists. That's what's happened at Ole Miss. Furthermore, you mentioned the Confederate flag being on the state flag. All of the major universities in Mississippi have now passed resolutions refusing to fly the state flag. So basically they're defying the authority of the state of Mississippi that provides them with the majority of their funding.
Yeah, and remind the audience why the state of Mississippi keeps that flag as part of its state emblem.
Because they had a referendum back around 2003 and put it to the citizens of Mississippi as to whether or not they should remove the Confederate flag symbol from the state flag. And it was 2-1 in favor of keeping the Confederate flag symbol, and there was even a majority of the black citizens of Mississippi that voted to keep the Confederate flag symbol on their state flag. Now, the left doesn't let a little thing like popular sovereignty or the will of the people get in the way of their proposed salutary changes on society. But what Phil Bryant, the governor of Mississippi, ought to do is say, until you can resume flying the flag of the state of Mississippi proudly on your campus, we're going to cut off all of our state funds to the University of Mississippi, Mississippi State, Delta State, whatever. Likewise, the federal government needs to say, if you are going to defy our immigration laws by declaring yourself a sanctuary from which people will be hidden out from the federal authorities who are breaking the laws regarding immigration in America, we're going to cut off all of your federal money too. And believe me, that would get their attention in a big hurry. They'd try to bring a lawsuit, but But if we get the right people on the Supreme Court, and this is a wonderful opportunity under Trump in which to do that, then we will have them checkmated and we can start to force these people into obeying the law.
All right. So from Richards Prep School to Texas A&M to Ole Miss, now Ohio State University. So we're talking about all of this pathological altruism, all of this pathological virtue signaling that's happened at this.
And all this anti-white behavior.
That's right. At these last three schools. The end game of it is going to be more of what we saw, an act of terror committed by one of the usual suspects just this week, the same week that Texas A&M and St. Mark's and Ole Miss are engaging in all of this behavior we've covered thus far this hour. The very same week, you see the end game of what happens when these policies and ideas
are
put forward. And give the details of how the usual suspects committed an act of terror at Ohio State, Keith.
Well, apparently Ohio State doesn't have to declare itself a sanctuary campus. They already are. They're taking in resettlement refugees like the Somali refugee student who tried to kill at least nine people on the campus of the Ohio State and who was shot down by an alert white male policeman who worked on the campus of Ohio State. This is the type of people they want to give sanctuary to. And the people of America, the ordinary, honest, working people of America, are sick and tired of this counterintuitive nonsense governing our policies in the United States regarding the enforcement of our border and our laws. Now, the idea that this person was part of this refugee resettlement program that they're not just allowing people to come from overseas and not prosecuting them. They're actually carting them in here and settling them among unwitting American citizens who are now falling prey to these predators from primarily Muslim countries. And yeah, we're supposed to, you know, if we're very much out of fashion if you dare to utter a discouraging word about this whole project. But you see the consequences of sanctuary settlement programs and not enforcing the borders is deadly. People die because of these programs. And it's time that we started connecting the dots and telling the American people, telling our friends and neighbors just exactly what the truth is, which is that murderous incidents like the one at Ohio State are the direct consequence of sanctuary cities, sanctuary campuses, and the failure to enforce our immigration laws.
So the headmaster at St. Mark's, the president at Texas A&M, they should be holding public awareness rallies for this kind of danger. There exists no danger from Richard Spencer, who's been a friend of mine for years, who was on this program last week, him coming to give a talk to 100, 200 people at Texas A&M.
He's like a Paul Revere.
It's not the kind of threat that we saw, the real threat, which manifested itself and has manifested itself time and time again in situations similar to that which we saw at Ohio State University when a Somali refugee who was a student and a group. And, you know, we know the person who is sponsoring Richard at Texas A&M, the one who rented the space and is doing all of this. He thrives in this atmosphere. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. We also know someone who used to work at Ohio State University who sent us in an email. He's a contributor to the show, a financial contributor. He sent in an email before the broadcast tonight. I won't read it because it's privileged. But he said that he once worked at Ohio State University, and he can absolutely debunk the so-called grievances that this Somali student had, all of the reasons why it is believed that he flipped and started trying to mass murder people on campus. This guy who actually worked there debunked entirely. There was no reason.
Well, I don't know this for a certainty, but I can just about guess what happened. He's not only a beneficiary of the resettlement, refugee resettlement program, and the sanctuary campus movement, and the sanctuary city movement. He's also a beneficiary of affirmative action. He probably got admitted to the university when he really wasn't qualified to be there. he got into the classes, did poorly, and now rather than blame himself for being deficient intellectually or academically, he blames the college that has bent over backwards, turned itself into contortions to try to make him feel welcome, and is taking it out not on the people that made the decision to let him come in here, the people in charge of the refugee resettlement program or the college administrators, but on ordinary Americans who happen to be walking the street or driving the streets of Columbus, Ohio.
Near his proximity. And so how many have to be killed? How many have to be maimed before we get the point that there are certain people that just don't mesh well with a white Christian culture, which is what America used to be? How many? How many? What's the death toll? What's the amount of victims? What's the number?
As we say, folks, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population.
And with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to take you all behind the scenes. Another inside information on my interview with the New York Times in just a minute.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.